juice available. So much more for you and yours. Call them up at 383-6205 or better yet, stop by one of their two locations, 601 East 1st Street in La Junta or 304 North Main in Rocky Ford, Martin's General Store, here to serve you.
It's time for Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, a show to educate you on the best seed selections and soil preparations for residential and commercial turf, range of grass, cover crops, and more. And now, Lauren Adams of Arkansas Valley Seeds alongside Pat McGee, Growing Together on AM 1400 KBLJ.
And of course on AM 920 KLMR. Good morning, everybody, up and down the Arkansas Valley. This is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. Of course, brought to you by Arkansas Valley Seeds and the good folks at Golden Plains Insurance. Lauren not here today as he's running around in Texas somewhere or something like that.
Down south, I
understand. Eric Tucker is sitting in today with us. And hey, you brought a friend along with you. We're going to be talking about soil health. And you said permaculture.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, tell us who we have and then we'll take it from there.
Well, I brought Jamie DeMeca. She is a permaculture designer out of Colorado Springs. I met her a couple of weeks ago, and we've been working on some projects at the home place, and we decided to have her on the radio and tell us a little bit more about permaculture and permaculture design. So this is Jamie.
All right. Jamie, good morning and welcome along. And I'll tell you here as I was trying to get the feedback machine off of there, you won't have to wear those unless we happen to get a caller or something like that. So
Okay, that works.
All right. Permaculture. I mean, I had Lauren telling me about this and I just heard Eric a moment ago. What on earth is permaculture? You've heard of horticulture and all that stuff. What's permaculture?
Absolutely. So I have a definition here, and it's actually written because it's complicated to remember.
Okay.
Permaculture is... It encompasses this huge thing. So permaculture is a design science, first and foremost. It integrates land, resources, people, and the environment through mutually beneficial synergies. So it imitates the no-waste closed-loop systems that are seen in diverse natural systems. Permaculture studies and applies holistic solutions that are applicable in rural and urban contexts at any scale. So we gardens all the way up to giant farms and ranches, as it were. Mm-hmm. It's a multidisciplinary toolbox, including agriculture, water harvesting, hydrology, energy, natural building, forestry systems, aquaculture, appropriate technology, invisible structures like banking and insurance systems, economics and community development. It's got an ethical basis at its core. So we have three basic ethics: care for the earth, care for the people, which is the most important one, and care for the future. And then there's a whole grouping of principles that go along with it.
And this pretty well fits in with everything Eric's been talking about your various trips here. Jamie, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you became involved in agriculture, and how you became involved in permaculture.
Well, my agricultural basis is kind of strange. I actually was a horse girl forever. And so horses aren't really thought of much in the agricultural area, but, you know, they still need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And they still influence the landscape if you aren't careful with them. And so the horses were the first thing. And then from there, interestingly enough, permaculture didn't come into my purview until... as an agricultural thing. It was mostly because I got tired of being cold. And I started doing a lot of research on ways to save money heating places. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered was natural building first. And thermal mass is an amazing thing that, you know, when it heats up with the sun, it releases the heat at night. And then that led to different searches on different things. It led to learning how to build really cool stoves that are highly energy efficient. And eventually, through all of those wormholes, Google put together this thing, and it says, oh, you would be interested in this. You are a human that would be interested in permaculture.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happened, it was on. I took a, I took 3 online courses, and then I did an in-person course, and then I did another in-person course where I taught, and I am now the course convener for Pikes Peak Permaculture, a nonprofit educational organization based in Manitou Springs. Mm-hmm. And I'm teaching, and I'm consulting, and I'm designing all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Eric, how did you get hooked up on this? Because, I mean, we've talked about soil health on this program with you several times, and concerning basically very natural type of stuff. I mean, you know, you don't advocate, you know, adding any chemicals and different things like that. How did you wind up crossing paths with Jamie and permaculture?
Well, I'm real big bug on continuing education. So I was off at a workshop, and Jamie was sitting at the table, and you know how you meet people sitting at your table. Mm-hmm. And she said permaculture, and I thought, well, that's pretty interesting.
What is that?
Yeah, that sounds like something to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to do my introduction, and I mentioned soil health and what I was about, and Jamie just kind of lit up like somebody flipped the switch, and we got to talking about it, and that's exactly what she was doing with her life, but on mm-hmm. on a different path. So we got to talking, and the workshop, the framework of the workshop was holistic management and ranching and grass growing and stuff like that, and how it all benefits. And we just kind of became friends, and I waited a week and called her, and she came down to my place, and we've been thinking about doing some permaculture ideas on our ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes perfect sense. When you can rework what you've got to work with in such a fashion that you could change how the water comes and stays, that's pretty valuable, pretty powerful. Up in Crowley County with all that degraded land, we really need to do something. And we can't rebuild the world with what we know. Mm-hmm. So we've got to learn something else to fix what we've got. So permaculture really sounds like a great idea. And it's not touchy-feely. There's just no touchy-feely at mm-hmm. all. It's hard fact, hard data, and it's worldwide. And it's worldwide in so many different, for instances, in the jungle, in the deserts. It all has the same characteristics and principles, because that's what makes it work.
So this is something that can be applied regardless of the environment, regardless of your climate, regardless of your soil type, probably regardless of whatever you're trying to grow in that ground that you're sitting on.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. It fits everywhere. Mm-hmm. And not an instant fit. There's always some research and some information that has to be learned about.
Well, there's no silver bullet, no, as they say. That's right. Yeah,
we still haven't found the silver bullet.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we've found the golden pickaxe to dig out ideas with. So
mm-hmm.
What projects are you working on?
So I've got a farmer that's a startup that he's going to be doing heritage and ancient grains. I think the property is 120 acres. And we're doing full design for that property to include all of the water catchment. We're going to be putting hedgerows in that are full of edibles. He's going to be eventually doing U-picks at his place. And so that will be full permaculture design. And then he purchased a 43-acre organic farm in Avondale that the soil is highly degraded. They were practicing what I would call conventional organic. And that's where they're not using inorganic chemicals, but in order to control weeds, they were tilling up to 14 times a season. The soil there is degraded. Yes, the practices were organic, but we need to work on getting the soil up to having the biology back so that we can get the nutrition back in the food. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be working on that. I've got a couple of backyards that I'm doing and working on. I have a project where, believe it or not, in permaculture, sometimes we call for the eradication of things. And there is a tree that has overtaken one of my clients' backyards. It's called the tree of heaven. It is a true invasive in many places in the United States. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be working on eradicating this tree so she can have her yard back. And that will come with full design as well. And I'm also, we're starting our permaculture course on the 18th of this month. And so things are extremely busy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We We started a project that we're going to probably try to do in October. This is one of the really neat things about thinking outside of the box is we're going to start building compost piles and need a certain amount of time on those, and then we can develop some extract from those compost piles. And we can almost tailor it to fit the land that we're going to work with. So we want to move from bacterial to more fungal and try to grow more grass. And I've talked to quite a few people and talked to Jamie for almost a whole day on this idea. And this is pretty powerful stuff. This is something that we could fix a lot of properties with from an organic what you have right here. Mm-hmm. So it's like opening up your bank book and finding the extra $100 that you didn't know was there, but well, of course it was there. It was supposed to be there. So I'm really kind of interested in what we can build and put together. I think it's just going to be a great journey. Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff I want to do off in the future, I think we're going to try to put something together down here off in the future, maybe even start doing some compost classes, because I know 4 or 5 people want to come to the compost building that we've got going half, you know, about May, mm-hmm. October, and then it's planned out to do some other things. So I think there's a lot of promise.
Now, I know she mentioned tilling, or the project that you're working on, they were doing a lot of tilling and things like that to eradicate weeds. And I know that's something that isn't really popular in Eric's book, if you will. I know he's mentioned that numerous times, but you know, a lot of people think if you're not going to spray anything, you know, inorganic on this stuff, how else do you get rid of it besides till it down?
Well, the interesting things about when you start to repair the soil is that once you get the biological mass back in the soil, things start to get balanced out. And when the biology is correct for the soil type that you have and for the plants that you're growing, the weeds stop germinating. And so at that point, you know, there are other management practices too, like, you know, making sure that your pathways are covered with either something growing or mulch. Mm-hmm. But really, once you get that balance back and you have the diversity in your soil, you really don't think about weeds anymore. You may start thinking about them as indicators of something that might be going on in the soil that you need to really start concentrating on.
Use those as a barometer, if you will.
Yeah. Basically. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that you start thinking that you need to eradicate anymore. It's more like a partnership. Mm-hmm. And so if we can get people to stop tillage, even somewhat, I mean, tillage is never going to go away, mm-hmm. because it's too widespread. Mm-hmm. But you don't turn the soil. That's one of the principles of soil health is minimize that disturbance as much as possible, because we're just creating problems. We're releasing CO2 into the atmosphere. We're also releasing methane, mm-hmm. and nitrous oxide, which are even more pervasive greenhouse gases. And if we can stop that from happening, we can hold soil moisture, we can get better plant growth and have healthier plants. And so we really need to concentrate on these things, like making compost that is full of the biological diversity from where we are. Mm-hmm. I can bring compost down to Eric. I can bring compost down, but it's not going to have the right biology because it was made in a different place.
Compost is not compost, is what you're telling us, Van.
Compost and is complicated.
And I think a lot of people think that it's all one and the same. It doesn't matter where it comes from. So,
compost is complicated. Like municipal compost, the processes that are used in municipal compost are challenging. Oh. Like, I've looked at some municipal composts in my microscope, and what I'm finding are not great.
Not pretty.
And so more people need to learn how to really monitor what is happening in their compost piles instead of ignoring them. I have a story from a woman. She was making compost, and she's like, you know, it's been at 120 degrees for 6 weeks. Do you think that this is okay? And that's not okay. 120 degrees is not hot enough to kill pathogens and weed seeds. Mm-hmm. And no matter how long that compost pile sits. And so we really need to have this education as a starting point for making our health, our soils healthier. Mm-hmm. If we can make good biological compost to inoculate our soils specific to our context, we can probably do it faster than almost any other method.
Mm-hmm. Our guest today, Jamie DeMeca. I said that properly. Yeah. All right, yeah. Jamie DeMeca and Eric Tucker in with us. We are talking about soil health. We're not talking about dirt. We're talking about soil.
Yeah.
Because that is one thing that that Eric corrected me on several months ago, is that there is a difference. You have healthy soil or you have dirt.
Right.
And you don't want the dirt. Dirt is what you fill a hole with. Healthy soil is what you grow things.
Right. That's exactly what we need is healthy soil.
We're going to be back with more of that conversation, talking about permaculture here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ, News Radio AM 920 KLMR. Our program is a presentation of Arkansas Valley Seeds and Golden Plains Insurance.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds. 719-254-7469.
From Golden Plains Insurance, covering all of southeastern Colorado.
Fall is coming soon, and that means wheat planting. And more importantly, that means the September 30th wheat sales closing date. Now is the time to get together with your agent partner at Golden Plains Insurance and create your personal crop insurance strategy to meet your desired needs. Stop in and see Golden Plains Insurance in Lamar, or call them at 719-336-8292. At Golden Plains Insurance,
we are independent and homegrown just like you.
Martin's General Store in La Junta and Rocky Ford has just what you're looking for. They're locally owned and operated. They offer new and used furniture and appliances, household items, collectibles, tools, knickknacks, antiques, and they even have vendor booths available. So much more for you and yours. Call them up at 383-6205, or better yet, stop by one of their two locations, 601 East 1st Street in La Junta or 304 North Main in Rocky Ford. Martin's General Store, here to serve you.
Hello, Lauren Adams here with Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds, hosted by Pat McGee and myself, Tuesday mornings on KBLJ AM 1400 from 11:15 to noon. Or listen to our podcast at abseeds.com. Being fairly new to agriculture myself, I've got a lot to learn and a lot of questions. That's why we have weekly guests who really know what they're talking about when it comes to agriculture. So join us live or listen to the podcast at abseeds.com as we grow together with information from leaders in agriculture.
And that is what we are all about right here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ, News Radio AM 920 KLMR, and of course online and the podcasts that are available at avseeds.com. Stop by Arkansas Valley Seeds in Rocky Ford, 98 12th Street. You can call them there as well at 254-7469. Lauren's out, I think it's on a work trip today. I don't think he's actually just out there gallivanting around recreating or whatever the case might be. But
He's doing something today.
He's doing something down in Texas, chasing down some customers and things like that. That voice is Eric Tucker. Yes, he's been on our program many times talking about soil health. The new voice across the way is Jamie DeMeca in with us talking about permaculture. Where'd that word come from? Where did the term come from? How did it originate?
So back in the 1970s, there was an Australian professor. I think he was originally from New Zealand, actually. And he was working with a student. And they decided that the way that agriculture was being done wasn't appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came together and started putting all of these practices together, and they needed a word for it. So what they decided on was they needed permanence in agriculture. So they put the word together, permaculture. Over time, it has morphed into more of a permanent culture, because we've started seeing worldwide where we are expanding permaculture into more than just that permanent agriculture mindset. And so it has become more about not just our food systems, but also utilizing it to build cultural systems, things like communities, things like businesses and schools and things along those lines. And so it works much more inclusively as permanent culture.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You were talking about compost here just a little while ago. And I mean, you can buy bags of compost at about any. Oh boy, look at the look! Look at the look out of. Yeah. It's a good thing this is not television, folks. It's not video. That's right. But no, I mean, you know, you can. You can go to any box store, any garden store, whatever the case might be, and buy a bag of compost.
You absolutely can.
And boy, did you wrinkle your nose when I said that? Why is that? And you said. Basically, when we were on break and just a little bit ago, you know, compost is not compost. It's not all the same, and it doesn't cover everything, basically. So let's expound on that a little bit, because I'm sure people are out there, you know, thinking the same thing I did. You need some compost. You don't have a compost thing. You go down here, you buy a couple of bags of it, you spread it all over your garden or whatever the case might be, and life is good. Maybe not.
Right.
Maybe not.
Okay.
So Bagged compost is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take this material, and it may have once been really great material that had lots of airflow through it and everything was alive, and then you put it in a plastic bag. And think about
you're
what
choking
happens.
It like, down here, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's warnings on plastic bags. Don't put this over your head.
Yeah.
And then we put this material that is full of life into a plastic bag, and then it sits wrapped on a pallet for who knows how long before it gets to whatever store that it's going to. And then
nothing against the stores.
Absolutely not. Yes. Mm. I mean, they have no control over what they're, you know, what they're ultimately getting. But, you know, it sits in the sun at the store and it heats up and it cools down and that material changes over time.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get to where the biology in it has either died, it has gone dormant, or worse, the good stuff has stopped working and the bad stuff has started growing.
Mm.
And so some people will get compost and they'll fill a bed, and then all of a sudden, where they never had a problem with their native soil, they can't grow anything. Or suddenly they're having disease problems with their plants.
Mm.
And so compost really is a more complicated beast than a lot of people really understand. It needs to be able to breathe. So going to a garden center where compost is made is far superior to buying compost in a bag.
You mean if you're buying it out of a pile, basically?
Yes.
Or buying it out of a compost pit rather than something that's in a bag?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And even far superior to that is making your own.
Well, how do you go ahead and make your own and key it to your environment? How is that done? Because, you know, some people throw Lord knows what that they throw in a composter, you know. So
absolutely.
How do you go about doing that, making a compost that is keyed to your area, to your soil, to what you want to do with it?
So the first thing that's the most important is having diverse ingredients in your pile. The more diverse that the ingredients in your pile are, the more diverse the biological makeup of that compost is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making compost to be a fertilizer.
Okay.
We're making compost to grow the biology to create nutrient cycling, because biology is what gives the nutrients to the plants.
Hmm.
So compost is not a fertilizer.
Okay.
So if we start with diverse ingredients in our compost piles, we attract more of the biology that is in the environment to create those nutrient cycling conditions. So we start with a diverse pile. We make a great big pile that has lots of carbon material.
Mm-hmm.
That carbon material can be wood chips, which is recommended,
okay,
dried leaves that have fallen off the trees, anything that was dead when it was cut. So if the weeds have gone dormant and their seeds are all gone, you would cut those down and use them. Straw is, mm-hmm, another component that can go into compost.
Well, careful on straw.
I was just going to give the disclaimer about straw.
Okay.
So most cereal grains are desiccated, and they can have chemicals that can kill the biology. So you, straw is one of the ingredients that can go into compost. But you have to be careful about how you source it. And then you may, the best way for the, just the average person to make compost is to put all of those ingredients into a great big pile. And then as they get what we call green materials, they're the more wet, slimy, green, more kitchen waste, vegetable scraps, things like that. As you get those materials, you make deposits into that compost.
Mix it in.
So you dig into your big pile as far as you can possibly get it and put that material as deep into that pile as you can get it in there. And then mark that spot where you just made that deposit.
Okay.
The next deposit, you're going to move over from that so that you're not putting the material that you're making your deposit in exactly the same place.
You want to spread it out.
You definitely want to spread it out, but you want to maximize the amount of deposits that you can do in a pile. Once you have completely, you've gone all the way around the pile and all the way up to the top, you just let that pile rest. And that resting can take up to 2 years. For the pile is, the inside of the pile is going to go anaerobic. And then eventually, once all that material has broken down, it's going to start bringing air back in. And when that air starts coming back in, it's going to start growing the good biology. And then you're going to have, the middle of that pile is going to be amazing. It's going to have really, really great local to your home, your ranch, your farm. It's going to have all the biology that lives right there.
Right there.
And you're going to be able to use that compost.
So you really don't even have to get in there, it sounds like, and mix it all up and everything like that necessarily.
Not with a static compost pile. With hot compost, the process is a little bit more complicated. It requires more monitoring. And you really need to know what you're doing when you're making a hot compost pile, because it can go anaerobic very quickly, but it can also create circumstances where it gets too hot too fast,
and then you wind up burning something.
The biology starts creating alcohol, and the compost pile can catch on fire. And so with hot compost, it, the average person probably shouldn't be making hot compost without an education. Just because it can get very slimy and gross, or it can catch fire.
It can get dangerous.
It can get dangerous.
Yes, okay. One thing I didn't hear you mention that I know many people might throw into their compost or compost pile is grass clippings.
Oh, grass clippings can be so dangerous. That is one of the things that can actually accelerate a compost fire. Because the ferment process, when you have fresh grass clippings, it creates a lot of heat really fast. And what happens is when you mix, like if you have your lawnmower bag full of grass clippings, and you just dump that in a compost pile, and you don't mix it and break it up, you get this matted pile of fermenting grass clippings, and very hot, very quickly, and it actually feeds the biology that releases alcohol. The alcohol is what creates
And that's highly flammable.
At 180 degrees, it combusts. And so grass clippings are okay if they have been dried first, or if you're very careful about how you spread them and mix them into
Them in. Don't leave it all there big lump. And I noticed you didn't really mention manure or anything like that. I know we've talked about that and with Eric before, how some people like to put manure on lawns and things like that. You have to make sure it's aged and not hot, other than you're going to be burning whatever you're trying to grow again.
Now, I'm going to challenge that, actually. Manure should not ever be applied. Even aged. It should always be composted first. Every manure, whether considered hot or cold, is anaerobic. We are trying to avoid in our soils anaerobic conditions. Yes, eventually nature will take care of it. But if you're doing a manure application, even if it's aged, once a year, that's too much. And so manures should always be put through compost. Again, the disclaimer, if you have manures from, especially the horse industry, using wormers. Wormers are persistent in compost, and they persist in the soil. They are not great for our biology. So you have to be careful about where your manure sources are coming from. Cows that are fed a lot of salts, those manures are challenging as well, because they put salts in the soils. So you have to be careful where that material is being sourced from. You also have to be careful what those animals are eating, because that directly affects their manure quality. So, but all manures should be composted before application.
Don't put it straight on.
No.
And manure is not manure is not manure.
Correct.
Wow.
This is almost like turning into a haircut.
It is, yeah.
Got to be something for everybody now.
That's right, exactly that. Oh, my. With us today here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds, Eric Tucker. I will just say soil health enthusiast.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, indeed. I appreciate that.
And Jamie DeMeca with us talking about permaculture on our program. This has been very interesting to me so far.
I mean,
I'm not even a gardener or anything like that. You know, I barely have a lawn, if you will, and I'm finding this very interesting and very informative so far.
It's very cool. I'm just kind of sitting here kind of
zoning out. You're soaking it up, too.
Yes, indeed. Gee, this is pretty cool.
Hey, quick break. We will be right back. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on News Talk AM 1400 KVLJ News Radio AM 920 KLMR. Don't go away. We will be back.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds. 719-254-7469.
From Golden Plains Insurance, covering all of southeastern Colorado.
As you begin to prepare farming operations for the wheat season, they can't help but think about all there is that a wheat crop can endure in its 10-month growing period, ranging from having a big enough stem, to winter kill, to drought, freeze, rust, bugs, worms, fire, and of course, hail. September 30th is right around the corner. Be sure to stop in and see Golden Plains Insurance or call 719-336-8292. At Golden Plains Insurance,
we're independent and homegrown just like you.
Now, Arkansas Valley weather on KBLJ.
Your pickle jar holds more than just pickles. It can create jobs and make our Colorado economy stronger. Glass jars and bottles can be recycled again and again, making glass a valuable material. In fact, glass that you recycle can be back on the shelf here in Colorado as a new bottle within a month. Rinse and empty your glass bottles and jars and put them in your curbside recycling bin or take them to a drop-off center. Then your glass recycling is picked up, sorted, and sold to local bottling companies where it's remanufactured into new bottles, giving glass a second chance, protecting our Colorado wild places, and creating jobs. By recycling your used glass bottles and jars, you make a positive impact on families and our economy. Get recycling tips and take the pledge, No Glass in the Trash, at erasethewasteco.org. Sponsored by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and the Colorado Broadcasters Association.
This is meteorologist Dennis Hull with your Tuesday Ag Weather Impacts. Well, most farms and ranches in southeast Colorado received beneficial rainfall Friday night into Sunday. The heaviest amounts of 1 to 2 inches fell across northeast Prowers County and northwest Otero County. Holly reported nearly 2 inches for the most. Extreme southern Bent and Prowers County got only a quarter inch or less for the least amount. A cold front will usher in a drier and cooler air mass today. Then a ridge of high pressure centered over Nevada is going to be shifting east and bringing hot weather with temperatures 15 to 20 degrees above normal for Thursday and Friday. You can expect cattle heat stress to be severe during the afternoon on Thursday and Friday. If you need to move cattle, the early to mid-morning times will be the best to minimize heat stress. The hot weather will continue to stress dry land crops where the drought conditions remain. Average daily soil temperatures at the 2-inch depth range from the lower and mid-70s and should cool into the upper 60s and lower 70s today and Wednesday. Look for soils to warm back into the mid and upper 70s Thursday and Friday. The above normal temperatures are likely to continue into much of next week, though at this time it doesn't look quite as extreme. Chemical applicators can expect lighter winds on Thursday and Friday, but extreme temperatures may limit applications. This is meteorologist Dennis Hull, and that's your Ag Weather Impacts.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Back to it on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio AM 920 KLMR. Eric Tucker with us, Jamie DeMeca. Before we jump into this and before I forget, I will mention this. As we were talking about over the weekend when I was down at Pagosa Springs with Tiger Football, and as a lot of folks have seen, the new turf has not been installed as of yet at Tiger Stadium. And because of that, La Junta will be playing their game against the Alamosa Mean Moose Friday night at Pueblo County.
Right.
We were just up at Pueblo County a couple of weeks ago playing the Colts. Well, we'll be back there at that field. It's a nice facility up there. It really is at Pueblo County High School. But we'll be playing Alamosa at Pueblo County. That is going to be at 7 o'clock Friday night. It will be a home game for the Tigers, but it'll be up at Hornet Stadium, Pueblo County Stadium there at Pueblo County High School. So there you go. So much for that. Let's get back to it, though. We're talking about permaculture here with Jamie DeMeca and Eric Tucker. Jamie, anything you wanted to touch on here concerning permaculture? Because I know a lot of people are still probably going, you know, this has been very interesting, but still,
Permaculture is complicated. And one thing that I make sure that I emphasize is that when people start learning about permaculture, they start generally making a generalization, and they're growing a permaculture garden, or they're using different permaculture methods, but they're not really fully involved in design. And really, permaculture is design. And so permaculture isn't your garden. Mm-hmm. It isn't your food forest. It isn't your greenhouse. It really is full systems design and how everything is interrelated in the relationships that you've built. And so that's an important thing to know, is that if you are doing permaculture practices and you have a failure, it isn't necessarily that the permaculture didn't work.
Right.
It's that the context in which it was being used was probably inappropriate. And because that's a big one. Lots of people grab onto permaculture and then they start doing these things in their garden, like adding mulch to cover the soil, and they have failures, and they don't understand that failure is actually built in.
Mm-hmm.
We actually want to have failures, because those are the things that we can learn from. And so people that haven't done a course, they don't really understand what permaculture is all about, please don't give up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Please make sure that you get into a situation where you have the full context of what permaculture can do before you just part and parcel let it go.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. The silver bullet mentality just doesn't work.
Right. You know? We mentioned that early on the program here today. Yes.
It's not a destination. It's a journey by far. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. So the professor you were talking about, that was Bill Mollison, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bill Mollison. His student was David Holmgren.
Yeah. I know Bill Mollison's got some outstanding YouTube videos.
He absolutely does. And there's a website called, I think it's Networks Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There is the availability of a download of an entire course that they did. You can download it as audio. I think that the YouTube of that is also up, but it kind of moves around because I think that it's, you know, they're trying to kind of control it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But talk about a phenomenal human being. Like, he understood things at a much earlier stage than many people. He talks about when he had the realization that streams don't necessarily originate as snow melt.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting on a bank and just watching. Observation is the very first principle. When you get into permaculture, you get taught how to look at things and how to not have an opinion about it. You're just seeing what is. And he was sitting on a bank, and all of a sudden he had this realization that there was water on the other side kind of seeping through. And it clicked to him that, you know, the water that had been soaked into the ground hillside of that was what was actually keeping that stream running.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we've lost in our understanding of hydrology and the way that hydrology works, is that we can influence the way that all of our streams flow, our dry creeks and those things, just by getting more water into the soil. Of course, that requires that we make healthy soil, mm-hmm. that the water doesn't just run off and that it isn't allowed to evaporate. We have in Colorado, we have a 60% evaporation rate. We evaporate 40 inches of moisture a year, where in some places we only get maybe 8 or 12 inches of rain. And right. So soaking every drop into the soil that we can possibly do, if we had thousands and thousands of people doing this, we could make dry creeks run year-round.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the hydrology advantages of a simple mindset change are phenomenal. Just amazing.
Hmm.
Yeah, Jamie was out a couple of weeks ago, and we just sat there and talked for 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so much potential. And it doesn't seem like it's a hard learning curve, but I want to learn too. So mm-hmm. that's what's interesting about it.
All right. Quick break. We'll be right back. Our final break of the program here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on KBLJ and KLMR. We'll get some contact information from Jamie, see if she has any internet presence, that type of thing, and maybe where you can find out more about permaculture. So stay right there. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds, brought to you by Arkansas Valley Seeds and Golden Plains Insurance on AM 1400, KBLJ, AM 920, KLMR.
From Golden Plains Insurance, covering all of southeastern Colorado.
As you begin to prepare farming operations for the wheat season, they can't help but think about all there is that a wheat crop can endure in its 10-month growing period, ranging from having a big enough stem to winter kill to drought, freeze, rust, bugs, worms, fire, and of course, hail. September 30th is right around the corner. Be sure to stop in and see Golden Plains Insurance or call 719-336-8292. At Golden Plains Insurance,
we are independent and homegrown, just like you.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here, and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique, and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds, 719-254-7469.
And of course, if you get on the Arkansas Valley Seeds website, abseeds.com, you can find the podcast of our past shows here on Growing Together. Eric Tucker with us, Jamie DeMeca as well. Jamie, give us some information as far as your internet presence and where people might be able to get online and learn more about permaculture.
You can find my services at wildoasispermaculture.com.
Wildoasispermaculture.com,
correct.
Okay.
Facebook page of the same name.
Okay.
And I'm also deeply involved with PikesPeakPermaculture.org. We
okay.
run courses, have workshops, all sorts of things going on with that organization.
All right.
And that's pretty
good.
Much it.
Okay. And the Pikes Peak Permaculture, that was a .org.
Correct.
Okay. Or WildOasisPermaculture.com. Very good.
Right.
Boy, Eric, I know you're going to want to bring her back once again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to have her back for some more because this is a nice, deep subject.
Mm-hmm. A deep, deep subject, I think so. You bet.
It
Jamie,
is.
Thanks so much for your time today. Been very informative. And, I mean, I've learned things.
Oh, me too.
Just
wow.
in the last 45 minutes, I'm going, yeah. wow, you know, just different things that you think you know, but you don't know, not at all.
Thanks for having me. This has been great.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Look forward to having you back. Eric, look forward to having you back, and hopefully we'll get Lauren back in here in studio next week.
We'll all try right. it next week.
Thank you very much. Eric Tucker, Jamie DeMeca with us here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KVLJ and AM 920 KLMR. We have been brought to you by Arkansas Valley Seeds and Rocky Ford and Golden Plains Insurance. Do have a great Tuesday, everybody. The news at noon is next on KBLJ and KLMR. We'll be right back.
the Arkansas Valley source for news, weather, sports, and information. News Talk 1400, KBLJ, La Junta.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Ike Ajayi. President Biden is in Somerset County, New Jersey, getting briefed by emergency response leaders in New Jersey, hard hit last week by remnants of Ida. At least 27 people died from floodwaters that swept across parts of the state. The president offered condolences, saying federal aid is available.
We're going to make sure the relief is equitable so that those hardest hit get what they need. And and we know there's a lot more to do. That's why we're here.
The president will also be in New York to visit an affected neighborhood in Queens. 18 people were killed in New York State. Texas is the latest Republican-led state to usher in new election reform laws. The governor signed the bill into law today.
Governor Greg Abbott and his fellow Republicans pushed for Senate Bill 1, citing their desire to safeguard elections from fraud and to standardize election procedures.
No one who is eligible to vote will be denied the opportunity to vote. It does, however, make it harder for cheaters to cast an illegal ballot.
Democrats say the new law does away with voting methods widely used by blacks and Hispanics during the 2020 general election. It was enough to send dozens of Democratic state lawmakers to Washington to deny their GOP colleagues a quorum. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Diplomatic efforts to get an estimated 100 Americans out of Afghanistan continues. Four Americans recently made it out using a land route. But ABC's James Longman says families waiting at one airport are running into delays.
One of the big issues seems to be in the north of the country at an airport there, Mazar-e-Sharif, where you